From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Deepak Bhatt, Senior Associate Editor for ACC.org. I'm filling in this week for Dr. Kim Eagle on Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I think Dr. Eagle's away fishing, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to cover three different papers that will be journal scans on ACC.org. I should point out that these are just three of several different articles that will be covered either as journal scans or clinical trials. The first one is a very interesting article in Circulation. It's from the National Swedish Registry. What they examined was all the different bystander witnessed out-of-hospital cardiac arrests. The patients were then categorized as either getting no CPR, standard CPR, or compression-only CPR. Good news from this study was that the proportion of patients actually getting CPR before EMS arrived increased substantially, up to 68% in the last time period they examined. Compression-only CPR in particular really increased over their time period of study, up to 30%. The really good news was that any type of CPR was associated with a doubling in survival rates compared with getting no CPR. But the other key message from this study was that compression-only CPR is probably the way to go in terms of a message to the public. It was seen in this study to be getting adopted more quickly, and that makes sense because most people are reluctant to provide rescue breaths during CPR. So I think even though this study was done in Sweden, the results apply worldwide. They certainly would apply to the U.S. The next study that I'm going to mention is from Stroke. It's a Korean study that examined the association between the hospital case volume of endovascular thrombectomy for acute stroke. With increased volume, recanalization rates improved, good outcomes were more likely, and on the flip side, symptomatic intracranial hemorrhage was less likely, and mortality was also lower. So it does seem, at least in this study, there was a positive association between higher hospital volume for endovascular thrombectomy for acute stroke and better outcomes. And for those of you that haven't been following this literature very closely, endovascular thrombectomy in recent years has really taken off in terms of the data supporting it for acute stroke, in particular for large vessel occlusion type stroke. Probably we need to do a better job in the U.S. deploying this therapy even more broadly than it currently is. Personally, I think the systems of care we've set up for acute STEMI with emergency medicine and interventional cardiology could easily be adapted for acute stroke with the involvement, of course, of neurology. We'll see if that happens in future years. I hope it does. The final study I'll mention sort of continues on this theme of procedural volume and outcomes, but now examining it in TAVR, as this recent paper in New England Journal of Medicine did. The authors analyzed data from the Transcatheter Valve Therapy Registry. They examined the years 2015 through 2017. They examined over 113,000 TAVR procedures at 555 hospitals performed by 2,960 operators. 85% were transfemoral. And they found a significant association between higher volume of transfemoral TAVR procedures and mortality. So the more TAVRs a hospital was doing, the better the 30-day mortality appeared to be. This is obviously a controversial topic. On the one hand, common sense would support the more you do of something, the better a hospital would be. On the other hand, that needs to be balanced with patient access, especially in rural areas. And of course, things may change, much like volume relationships with PCI have become much less apparent as operators have become more experienced, as the technology has miniaturized and improved. I imagine the same will happen with TAVR in years to come. But I'm sure in the meantime, many will debate the importance of different volume thresholds for TAVR. So this is just a sampling of some of the great coverage you can find at ACC.org. Thanks very much for listening to this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. All the topics I discussed today can be found on the American College of Cardiology's website. Please find us there or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great week.